Well, hello, it's season 5, and we are super excited that you are here as we dig into one of my favorite subjects. This season, we will be chatting with some amazingly smart and influential people in and around the arts and entertainment industry about something I like to call the inner critic. Who is this mean voice that constantly tries to stop us? And how do we confront it and kick it out of our way? From therapists to deliverance ministers to fashion icons and entrepreneurial geniuses, we are going to talk about that inner voice that wants to stop our creative passions and hinder our ability to shift culture. Head on over to my website, lindseymorgan.co, and use the promo code LOVE for 50% off the Crushing Your Inner Critic Masterclass. And now, let's get to that conversation with this week's incredible guests about their journey with the inner critic.
I'm back. I'm so excited to have someone super, super special on today. This is my friend, Tara Armstrong.
Hi. Hi, Lynn.
Okay, I need to tell you a little bit about this beautiful lady. She has some super cool stories, guys. She has some super cool stories to share with you today that are going to encourage you and bring you hope and just put you in awe of how God blesses his kids. So I highly recommend sticking around for this one. But Tara, I got introduced to her. She does an organization. I'm going to let her tell us a little bit more about what she does, but it's called She Shifts Culture. And she pours into women on Monday mornings at 7 a.m. I'm not a 7 a.m. girl, but she challenged me. She's like, Lens, you know? And so I kind of roll out of bed to be on this prayer call, but she's so powerful, such a powerful prayer warrior. And she's just has an anointing to really help women like get unstuck, and especially women that are in more of, I think, the entertainment industry. But Tara, I'll let you talk more about that. She's done amazing things. Tara, brag on yourself. I want to hear cool stories. I want to hear like what you've done, what we were talking about before the call, just, you know, being in the fashion industry. Give us a little bit of your history. Would love to hear that. Thanks for being here.
Yes. Well, thank you for having me, Lindsay. And hi, everyone. It's so good to be here. And I just love what you're doing, Lindsay. I love this whole inner critic and, you know, grabbing a hold of that inner critic and tossing it out, you know, because we all have it, no matter what stage of life you're at, no matter what age you're at, we all have that inner critic. And so I'm glad that God put you in charge of going after the inner critics in other people's lives and helping them get rid of it, or even just feeling like it's normal to have one, you know, like sometimes me personally, sometimes, oh, I got it all together. But then like that inner critic is like, you know, so yes, just like you said, I am the founder of She Shifts Culture. I started it back in 2005. I actually moved to Los Angeles from Northern California. I stepped into the fashion industry and have worked with celebrities on, been featured in People Magazine, on Tyra Banks Show, and a bunch of really cool things like that. And I just felt like God was taking me out of, you know, making women feel beautiful on the outside and helping them to feel secure, confident, know who they are, their identity on the inside. And so I started She Shifts Culture, and it's a platform where women can come together in all industries, from, you know, fashion to business to stay-at-home moms. And we do our 7 o'clock calls. It's our business one on 7 o'clock on Monday mornings. And then we do yearly conferences as well, where women from all over different denominations, different ethnicities, different age groups, we all come together for the glory of God, and celebrating one another and encouraging one another to do the thing that God has called you to do. And so I do that. And then I'm also a life coach for women. We do a lot of mindset things. So I know all about the inner critic because we work a lot on the inner critic in the mind. And I do work with a lot of women in the entertainment industry, but also in every aspect from business. I do a lot of business coaching. So that's kind of a little bit about me. And then I've been doing life coaching probably for about the same 5 years. It started from me speaking all over, being invited to speak at different engagements, and people really just seeing that need for discipleship, need for starting a business and growing a business, and helping people with their mindsets, time management, and anything, any goal that someone has, I get it from, you know, conception to completion. That's what I say.
Yeah. That's so good. And I know a lot of people you coach. I mean, that they, you know, they're like, oh, they have their book, you know, they're like selling. Yeah. One of the girls, I saw her at a conference and she was so bold about having her book, you know? I said to her, oh gosh, you know, I feel weird about like selling my book. And she's like, not me, you know, and she's talking about how you had helped her do that. And I thought, okay, you know, I need to know the Sarah girl.
Yeah. So
I love that. Yeah. That's really powerful. And you are get it done. Like you're a get it
done. I'm very good at it. I'm all about putting your emotions aside and doing the tasks that are in front of you. Like forget how you feel. We get to where we want by not how we feel, but how we commit to something. And so we commit to it and we get it done.
Yeah.
So, if you guys have a goal, you need something accomplished, reach out to me.
Yes, I'll definitely put her information in the show notes. Yeah. No, I love that, Tara. You are so good at that. And you're so committed on those 7 a.m. calls.
Like, I am. Like, so rise and shine. Let's go.
Mornings just aren't my most exuberant time, but you know, I feel you.
You've
helped me so much. I'm so grateful. Well, I know you have some cool stories to share, like that we talked about before, and I'm super excited to get into them because I just know they're going to bring so much hope to people. We've all been in places of just pain, and you know, we talked before, the inner critic is either like the enemy that the Bible says is the father of lies, so he's going to lie to us. That's his job, you know. Or just like circumstances and the ouchies that kind of get in. We call them ouchies to keep it light, but you know, like the ouchies that get in there that just cause problems in our life. We all have them.
Absolutely.
And you telling me about a time that you were just feeling depressed and then, you know, tell us a little bit about that or what the inner critic was maybe saying to you that got you there. But then I want to hear like the crazy, like only God story that because it is so powerful.
So back in 2019, you know, I, like you said, I'm such a do it girl. Like if I have a goal, I'll achieve it and I'll make it happen. And I'm also like a fix it person. Like if everyone calls me to like figure out how to fix this or how to make it happen. And so one thing that I'm sure a lot of women that are watching, might be able to feel on this note is you can't fix or you can't resolve the fact that you're not married. Right. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that was one thing in 2019 that I just felt like it was such a deep desire of my heart and just not seeing the fulfillment of that, you know, not seeing the fulfillment of like the man of my dreams that I've been praying for. And I'm like giving prophetic words to different people and they're getting married and I'm showing up to this wedding and, you know, like, and just feeling, it just really weighed me down. It really took me to like a dark place, you know, of like, am I forgotten? Am I not good enough? And that's not normally who I am, right? Like I'm not, I think I was just born that way, like very confident. Cause people will say you're so confident. And I don't know where it came from, but I'm just naturally more a confident person. And so the fact that like that inner critic that kept repeating over and over in my head would be something like, what's wrong with me? Am I not good enough? Like, and I can't fix it. And that was the other part. I can't fix it. I can't make this thing happen. You know, I can't force someone to marry me. You know what I mean? And like, you know, just dating, I dated a lot, you know, I dated probably half of LA. You know? I dated so many people, kissed so many wrong frogs. None of them turned into a prince. They all turned into like big fat warts. But nonetheless, like, then you're like, okay, so what's wrong? You know what I mean? Like, I don't think I'm that. I mean, I'm cute a little bit, I think, you know what I mean? Like somewhat cute. I know I'm smart. I know I can get something done. So I think during that time, it just kind of like spiraled, you know what I mean? Not seeing the fulfillment of that. And then some other things that were on my heart that I didn't quite see God bring the fulfillment of it. So in that 2019, I just started to sink down. And I think I just started to spiral, which once again is not my personality. I'm usually like, get up, figure it out, fight for it, make it happen. But there's nothing you can do with a situation like that. It's just all about timing. It's all about waiting on God, which nobody wants to do. That's like the worst statement ever. Just wait on God. You know what I mean? Like, shoot me. Like, seriously, like, wait, I'm not patient in that, you know? And so I just started to spiral and I got into like a really, really dark place. And then it turned into just not feeling seen. I didn't feel seen. I didn't feel like God saw me. I felt like he forgot me. I felt like, you know, I was in this place of just like, God, where are you? Like, do not see me? Like, am I just the one that like helps everybody else, but like then I don't get anything at all, you know? So why even be here? Like, those were the questions that I had in my head. Like, why even be here? Just take me away, take me out of the world. Take me like, I mean, I obviously didn't, I don't think I had like the audacity to actually do something to myself, but like, those were my thoughts that were running through my head. Right.
Yeah.
And so, so yeah, that's kind of like my headspace in 2019 or 2018 leading into 2019, just feeling like, you know, and during that time I was dating a guy, and we happened to break up. And then 2019, I just kind of like spiraled, or 2018 moving into 2019, I just went into like this spiral effect because I allowed those thoughts to basically overtake me. And it was to the point where I couldn't even fight it off. You know, like sometimes you can fight the inner critics off. You like have your sword and you're just like, you know what I mean? Like your lightsaber, you know, just like knocking them all out. But it was like, I was oppressed by them. You know what I'm saying? So that's where I was at. That was my headspace during that time, just feeling super depressed and not seen, you know? And that's, how do you fix that? How do you fix, see me? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And not chosen. And so I was asking those questions to God, you know, and I knew the word, and I know the word over my life, you know, and I knew that God had these big plans for me. And I knew that my husband was a part of that, but I was like, but then where's the husband? Like, well, then where, how come it's not all coming together, you know? And every year that went by, it just was like, oh my gosh, like, I don't want to be like 90. And I'm like, woo, 1 year of celebration. I waited all this time. You know what I'm saying? Like just that kind of feeling. And so that was my headspace during that time. Yeah. Just a really like funk, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Were you mad at God?
Oh my gosh, was I ever? Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I was mad at God, shaking my fist at him. I was throwing tantrums, like big time mad at God, big time. Yeah. And just like, you know, and it was hard because, you know, what's really hard, I think, Lindsay, is because I've been saved since I was 4 years old, right? Like I just was birthed out of the womb, like hands, you know, hallelujah. And so it's like being in a relationship, right? Like you have these moments where you have to like learn to keep the spark going in a different way, you know? And I knew God's faithfulness in so many areas of my life. I knew it financially. I knew it, you know, in my career. I knew it in my friendships. I knew it in my family. I had seen God do miracle signs and wonders, right? Like I've seen legs grow out. I've seen like crazy things in my life. And I think, you know what made me the most mad is that I had seen all those things, but I wasn't seeing it for myself, for the one desire that I had in my heart. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just like, but God, I know you can do these things, but you're choosing not to. You're choosing not to do these things. And so I got stuck in that space. And literally the only way I came out of that space is I was like, you know what? I hate that word surrender. You know what I mean? And everyone's like, just surrender. Just surrender it. And I'm like, ah! But honestly, that was like the thing that what worked. I was at a beach one day because I kept going to the beach. That's the only place that I found like my serenity. I was just like, I can't do church. I mean, I'm like, I was like on pastoral staff. I'm like, I'm not going to church anymore. I'm sorry. I can't do it. I just can't do it anymore. This is real talk. Is that okay?
Real talk is my favorite, Tara. This is so good. I'm like, go for it.
So I'm just like, at the beach, just crying out to God, like all the time. And that became like my church. It's just like, God. And I just remember being like, okay, what if because I can't live in that middle space. I just can't, I was like, I cannot do that anymore. I can't live in this space of like desiring something so much, but not seeing the fulfillment of it. So I was like, what if it doesn't happen? What if God actually isn't going to bring me somebody? And I was like, then what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Are you going to exit this world? Are you going to take yourself out? Mm-hmm. Or are you going to choose to just move forward, you know? And so I made myself make a decision in that moment. And I said, okay. And there's something that settled in me that said, I'll probably never get married. And I'm going to choose that route. I'm not getting married.
Wow.
That's what God has for me. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, I was like, from this day forward, I'm going to choose joy. And I'm not kidding you. That's what I did. From that point forward, I stopped putting my focus on husband and I started focusing on what brings me joy today.
Yeah.
And I had to dig myself up out of that rut, that, you know, wallowing hole, that dark hole that I gotten myself into. And I said, every day I'm finding joy. every day I'm going to find joy. And that's how I eventually came out of it. But I was really ticked off with God. Yeah. Really mad. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean very much. you have prayed for me as you know, mine was different. Like, it wasn't a husband, but it was my career, my money. Yeah. You know, like, I used to have a lot of money, and then I have had like no money in a real way for so long. And I'm like, like, you, I'm like a young girl, you know, I'm like doing all of these things.
Yeah.
I'm like, what do you want me to do? You know, I'll go work at McDonald's. God, like, I literally was like, I mean, I've done, you know, my graduate work, and like, but if you want me to work at McDonald's, I will. And it just like, he was not opening any doors, and it was frustrating me so much. And so I do understand, you know, what you're saying. And what God showed me was like, I just want you to enjoy your life.
Yeah.
Similar to you, you know, like, he wasn't saying, and tomorrow this is all going to change.
And like, what a concept, right? Enjoy your life. You're like, no, baby, how?
Like, but it was so similar. Like, he was just like, that was his solution for me. Enjoy your life. And I thought, oh yeah, like, I was kind of mad about it, but I'm like, I guess I'll try it because everything else I'm freaking trying isn't working, you know. And so I just think it's cool, you know, that he kind of is showing us a similar thing. You know, you say choose joy, and I think if he would have told me to choose joy, I would have been really annoyed with that. So he told me to enjoy my life, and I kind of knew what that meant. Like, all right, I'm gonna go like listen to the music, and you know, in the lobby of the hotel, it's free, you know. So I love that he did that. Okay, so now I'm ready for the like really fun story. Okay. What point in that wrestle with God did this like big surprise from him come?
It was like right in the middle of it, actually. Because even when the big surprise came, I was almost like, it was exciting, but it was kind of like, it was like, I was like, oh my gosh, but is it going to be taken away? Because why is he going to bless me now? Like, why is he going to do this now? You know?
So this was before the surrender.
This was before the surrender.
Super interesting. Okay. Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. So I'm so excited. I have like goosebumps. This story is so pumped. So, okay. Take us in. I'm ready. Okay.
All right. Here's the story. The exciting story. Okay. So, in 2018, like I said, I was the starting probably of, you know, I mean, obviously every year I was had that feeling of, you know, like, okay, another year goes by, I'm not married, another year goes by, you know, that kind of thing. I was dating a guy in 2018 and he was coming out, and I was like, okay, like, let me plan some stuff. And so one of the things that I had planned was for us to go on The Price is Right. And
I just have to admit, this is my dream too. One of my bucket lists. Anyway,
totally my dream. Like, all I wanted to do my whole life was spin that wheel. And so I was like, okay, let's go on. And I had gone before and they didn't choose me. And mind you, I don't really get chosen for these things, you know, like, I can act crazy and like, you know, but like, I don't know, like, I just don't get chosen. Yeah. And so I was like, I'm gonna get him on, like, he's gonna have so much fun. And so we got like our, you know, little Air Force shirts because he's in the Air Force. And so we go, and you know, so much so that when they sat us, because they do this whole audition process where they like, I mean, there's like hundreds of people there, and they go down and like ask you, what do you do for a living? You know, I don't know, they just like interview everybody. And so we're standing there, and they bring us all in, and they put us up against a wall that like was so far away from, I mean, it was right up against the stage, but you couldn't see it. So on camera, like, even if I wanted to be like, hey mom, how's it going? You know, like, hey, I'm on The Price is Right. Like, she's not going to be able to see me. You know what I mean? Because the camera is like blocking us. So anyways, they, you know, go through, I think they call up like 8 contestants per show, and they're on the 7th one. I'm still not getting called. Nobody's getting called. Or him and I aren't getting called. And they came to the 8th one, and they went to a commercial break. And I was like, well, I'm going to go to the bathroom. Right. So he's like, okay. So he follows me, him and I run out to the bathroom, and I, you know, take my time in there, whatever. I come out of the bathroom, and there's like 7 producers like standing there. And I'm like, and they're like, Tara, what are you doing? I'm like, who are you? I'm like, I'm going to the bathroom. And they're like, well, we called your name. And I'm like, what? I'm like, well, first of all, why don't you just choose somebody else? Because normally that's what you do in production. You don't stop production. You just choose somebody else. And they're like, well, we called your name. And I'm like, oh, okay. So what do you want me to do? And they're like, well, everyone already knows that you're in the bathroom. So is that going to make you feel weird or uncomfortable if they're like chanting your name. And I'm like, uncomfortable. This is amazing. It was like, let's go, you know? And here's the other thing, Lynn, that I didn't mention is that, you know, I have this prophetic word over my life that I'm going to be speaking all over the world. And, you know, and I've seen it a little bit, but not to the element that I know that God has for me. Right. And so another question I've been asking God is like, how am I going to get my name out there? Like, how is that going to happen? And so the fact that like, I come running through the curtain and everyone is like, Tara, Tara, Tara. Right. And I run down to the bottom, like slapping everybody five, you know, I get to the bottom and like Drew's like laughing his head off and they go to the bidding thing, the, what you bid on. And so, they're like, okay, I was like, okay, obviously I'll probably go last. I'll just bid over a dollar. Well, no, they come to me first. And I was like, and so I throw out a number. I'm like $9.79. I don't know. I couldn't even see the prize. I didn't even know what it was. Well, sure enough, I won. I got it. So I get up on stage and I'm just like a maniac. I'm just like, ah, you know, going crazy. And I get up there and they open up and I play for a car. Right. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And the awesome thing here was another thing that I forgot to tell you before is that I had been asking God, like I really wanted, cause I've always had like used cars, you know, like nicer, but like used, you know, I've never had like a brand new car straight off a lot.
Right.
Well, they open it up and it's a brand new car. And I'm like so many God moments in this. So many.
I love it. I love the God.
And so I was like, oh my gosh. Right. And so I'm playing, you know, you're like, I was like looking at, you know, the guy that was dating at the time. And I was like, should I keep going? Blah, blah, blah. And he like said, no, do this one when I wanted to do something else. But I listened to him and I lost the car. I was like, ah, you know, so I lost the car. And then, you know, we do the big spin and all that. So that happened in 2018, November.
Okay.
I leave, go to Africa, speaking there. I don't tell anybody that, you know, I was on The Price is Right because no one really knew that we were dating, only like my close friends. And we wound up breaking up. So I didn't tell anybody. And usually in production, they wait, you know, you film something, then they wait like 3 or 4 months to like have it air. So I think it was January, end of January, beginning of February. I think it was beginning of February. Yeah. They air my show, but I didn't tell anybody because I was scared that like people were going to like, they were going to show my ex a lot. So I was like, oh, I'm not going to tell anybody.
Yeah.
So I watched it and realized, okay, they didn't. So then I told people. Well, that night somebody said, they're like, hey, congratulations. I saw you on The Price is Right. It was somebody that like I knew from high school. And, then they were like, and also congratulations on this other thing. I'm like, huh? I didn't know what he was talking about. I go to sleep, wake up the next morning. And I was like, what's that guy talking about? Like what that I was on. So I went back to the message and I looked it up and it shows my video. And sure enough, that clip of them calling my name, me running through the curtains down to the bottom line went viral. And it was just like hilarious. And so from that point on, like I'm talking like Entertainment Tonight, Carson Daly, like every news station that you can possibly think of, it was on. Like I got so many calls, people messaging me. They're like, oh my gosh, I just saw you. Like, what is going on? I'm like, I don't know what's going on because this is crazy. Like I've done so many cool things in my life and this is what I'm getting famous for. I'm like, this is crazy, but it is so God. Right? Yeah, like,
right. Totally. So on the viral clip, which we'll have to find and put on the show notes, we'll have to see it now that you've told us about it. Like, did they know you were coming from the bathroom? Was that like the funny part? Or
yeah, they actually knew. I guess they had told them. They're like, oh, she's in the bathroom. So then they're just like, so they just had them like cheer my name, like, come on, Tara, come on. And so then I come running through right. And I'm like hitting everybody's hands and like being funny, you know? Yeah.
Okay. That's so funny. So you didn't want to be known as the girl that was in the bathroom, but that's kind of what ended up.
Yeah. So I literally, you know, I thought normally you get titled a crazy name, like PP girl. So I thought it'd be like PP girl, bathroom girl, the missing girl, the lost girl. No, you know what God did? He made them use my name. Like literally my name was across everything. They were like Tara Armstrong on The Price is Right. Carson Daly being like, did you see Tara Armstrong on The Price is Right? They're having conversations about me and people are sending me different clips. They're like, I was at the gym and I just saw you on the news. I'm like, what? And I'm just like, this is so crazy. But it's so God.
So God that he would use like such a funny moment to actually do what he said he was going to do.
Like 100%.
He wants us to know it's him and not us. You know what I mean?
100%. Because I can, I was trying to make it happen and it wasn't, but he's like, I can make it happen like that. Like without you having even laid a finger on it, you can be in a bathroom sitting on a toilet and I can make you known to the world.
Exactly. I can make you seen,
right? Yeah. So I'm like, okay, God, you win. You know, like nothing. So from that point, after that happened and went viral, the next day, I get a call from the producers at Ellen DeGeneres, the Ellen show. And I was like, oh my gosh. I mean, I am a big fan of her. I love her. You know, she's so hilarious. And so I was like, what? Like, then I was just like, now it's just gone crazy, you know? And I was so nervous because I was just like, oh my gosh. Because the thing is that inner critic, right? It came back. Like, am I going to lose this? Like, you know, like you feel the like bigness inside happening, right? You're just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening. But then the inner critic is like, yeah, but you might lose it.
Yeah.
God might forget you. Yeah. He may make you unseen again. You know what I mean? And so you have to fight through that and grab a hold of your confidence. And you're like, no, this is my moment and I'm going to take it. I'm going to walk in it. And I'm going to tell you, devil, that you are evicted out of my mind and you're not going to have this. This is mine. And so that's what I did. I just kept claiming. I was like, no, this is my moment. This is my moment. And so a week later, I was on the Ellen show. They came and they picked me up in a limo and me and a friend got to go. We were in a green room. They like lied to me and told me that because they wanted like a natural reaction. I mean, they just got the craziest reaction ever. Not really a natural one, just a crazy one. But, you know, they told me I was going to be on Ellen Tube afterwards, that we were going to film and that, you know, I get to watch the show because I was bargaining. I was like, well, can I get tickets to the show? Can I bring a friend? Like, I was so excited. I was milking my moment. I was like, if this is the only moment I get and I'm going to milk it. So I was like asking all these crazy things. So I'm sitting in the audience and there was a part of me that was like, I wonder if they're going to have me on, you know? And Ellen comes out, she does her monologue. And mind you, I've been on a lot of sets and this set is the nicest set I've ever seen. I mean, like plush, like chairs, the set is beautiful, the green, everything. I was just like, oh my gosh. I'm sitting there and she comes out, does her monologue. And I'm like, okay, just ready. You know, they told me to be camera ready. So I'm like, you know, practicing my like B-roll footage. I'm like, you know, and then she starts talking. I'm like waiting for her to call me up or make some mention. Well, she doesn't. She goes and she sits down and I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is taking forever. Like, okay. And so then I started to relax because I'm like, well, I know the cast of, there was the Big Bang Theory. They were on that the same day. So I was like, oh, okay. Maybe she's not going to interview me. So I just kind of like sat back and relaxed. And as I did, I just sat there and I was just like, you know what? This is cool. And then the next thing she says is, has anyone seen The Price is Right this week? And I was like, shut up. And literally that was probably my face. I think if you rewatch it, you'll see it. Yeah. And then she was like, well, if you have it, here's a clip. And then they show the clip and then she's like, and Tara's here in the audience. So Tara, won't you come on down? And so I like run down and I get interviewed in the white chair. I was so excited. I'm like, oh my gosh, the white chair. So I'm sitting in the white chair. She interviews me back and forth for just a little bit. Well, what you see will be like an edited version, but it was like a long interview. And then, next thing you know, she goes, well, we want to redeem that basically. And we want you to play The Price is Right. And so they had set up, they even had like The Price is Right models there. They had like the whole setup of Price is Right. And so we go over to play and she goes, well, you're going to try to play for a brand new car, you know? And so they do this like whole mock Price is Right game with me. And I wound up getting a car from her. So awesome. Yeah. That
is like the best story ever. And I love what you were telling me earlier about like how sometimes we think like what we want, like and this happened to me too. Like, you know, where there was this apartment that I for sure thought I was getting and I had been so long and been through so much and then I didn't get it. And I was so mad at God, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, And then to, you know, and then God had something way better. And that happened with you too, right? Like,
right. Yeah. So on the Price is Right, you know, on the Price is Right, they make you pay for the sales tax and the income tax. So the prize that I won, I had to pay taxes on that, the bidding prize. So had I won the car on the Price is Right, I would have to pay for that. But Ellen was so dang generous. They pay for your sales tax and income tax. So I literally got a free car. Like I had paid nothing on it whatsoever. Brand new car, and I got to pick it out. I get to put like my sunroof on it, do my wheels, do my leather. She gave me like this budget that I could spend, and then I, you know, got my brand new car, which was crazy because that's what I had, you know, was desiring. Like, cause I had never had a actual like brand new car. So I was like, come on, Jesus, you're so good, you know. But I could have like gotten all bitter and mad, like, why didn't you let me win on the Price is Right, you know? But I didn't. I was just like, okay, well, it was a fun experience, whatever it was, you know. Yeah. And then I don't know, he just blessed me. I was very grateful. Yeah. Yeah.
And he's been teaching me that a lot too. Like, Linz, just be thankful for the small things, you
know? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's so important. It's so important. So, I mean, that story is so fun, but I'm so curious. So like in the middle, like it was, that was in the middle of the like painful season, right?
Yeah.
And like, when was the surrender moment? Cause obviously that had, what did that do for you? Did that bring like, oh, I mean, it had to have brought joy, just like,
so it did, it brought a lot of hope. And I was like, well, is it, you know, like, it, are things going to start changing now? Is the tide going to start turning now? I thought, you know, like, I think sometimes like we think that like, we're going to automatically just arrive somewhere. We flip to the next chapter and we've arrived, right? And that we arrived at our purpose. We arrived at the marriage, we arrived, and it didn't happen that way. And so it just came to a halt actually. Like that was that. And I was like, okay, you know, and I mean, there was things that I did with, you know, being on there, like, you know, creating a TV show, but then that, and that got really far. And that's a whole nother story. But yeah, like you think that like, okay, like this is gonna like keep the blessings coming, you know, and the husband's next, right? You're gonna give me a husband too, Ellen? God, somebody? Yeah. And it doesn't happen. So it, sadly, you know, I went back to that place afterwards. Okay. So it was probably, I'd probably say maybe another 6 months of feeling that way. You know what I mean? Of just like, because, you know, the highs and lows, right? Like I got shot way up high. Like this, I mean, that wasn't just like, oh, a little thing happened. That was like huge. You know what I mean? And just out of nowhere, like I had no idea that that's what was happening. Yeah. And so to have that, these trajectories take place in your life to then like it all of a sudden just like stop, you're like, oh, okay. You know what I mean? That the low was, it even actually probably was that much more low.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Because the high was so high that the low became so much lower than it was before. Wow. And yeah. And then, like I said, I was just like, I just need to get away. And that's when I started going to the beach and just allowing, you know, I always say, just leave it at the water. You know what I mean? Like go to the water and you leave it there. You just, and I just cried all out, you know, the ocean's full of our tears, you know? Yeah. And so that's what I did. I stopped allowing, like also because I think, because I am a leader and I, you know, am in front of people, I was speaking and things like that. Like you try to save face and you try to like, you know, you have this performance orientation of like, I got to look this way and I got to be this way. And I was like, I just have to stop it all. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not healthy anymore. Like mentally, physically, like, you know, I was having like, you know, adrenal fatigue, you know, all these crazy things. I was like, I just stop.
Yeah.
And so I would just go to the ocean and just stop and let the world stop around me and just sit there and cry it out and leave it at the water every Sunday, you know? And then it was that one Sunday that I told you that I sat there and I just came to this conclusion because I was like, I don't like to live in the gray with God. I don't like to live in the middle with him, you know, like he's either good or he's bad. And that's what I told myself. It is. You either trust him at his word or you don't, you know, and no matter what goes up, no matter what the inner critic says, you have to come like to the middle of that inner critic and say, you either have to feed it truth or you have to feed it a lie. Like, are you going to trust that God is good? Or are you going to trust that he's bad? Which one? You're not going to, I can't live in the middle. For me, I'm not a middle person. I'm like this or this, you know, I'm very decisive. And so I told myself that you either from this point forward, you're either going to believe that he is good or that you're going to believe that he is bad and you're not going to live in the middle. And so in that moment, I was like, okay, I'm going to trust that he's good. I'm going to trust that he's good. And that's when the moment changed for me. And then, you know, maybe 3 or 4 months later is when I met my husband.
Wow.
So it was crazy. I was like, that surrender, but it was not like a surrender that I could have even
forced myself to,
you know what I mean? Because if I knew how to surrender so I can get, like, I would have done that because that's my personality, right? Okay, I'll surrender. Now can I have? You know what I mean? Like,
what do I need to do?
Yeah. That's me all day long. And I didn't, it was just a place that, like, it just, I had to, because it was life or death for me. Right. Like, it was like this place, whether it was life or death, where, you know, like, just every day, I just felt like I was dying on the inside, but, you know, and it even mentally, like, just wanting to die. I was like, God, just take me. I'm so miserable. And on the outside, most people
would have never had
no idea. They're like, what? You know, and probably people that are going to watch is going to be like, what? You know, but, like, I think it's important because a lot of leaders feel this way. And I know that because I work with a lot of leaders, you know what I mean? I work with a lot of people, and I think it's healthy to hear that, you know, it's healthy to hear that we struggle. It's healthy to hear that we go through things and, you know, that there is power in Jesus and there's power in releasing those words out of your mouth, you know, and seeking help. And, you know, whether it's through therapy, whether it's a life coach or just going to the beach and just chilling and just being okay with letting the world stop around you for a moment, you know, so you can grab a hold of that inner critic that's on the inside of you and say, you know what, we're going to wrestle this out right now, you know? Yeah. And so that's what I had to do. That's the point that I had to come to, is like wrestling out with that, you know, inner critic and like not letting him or her, whatever. I feel like the inner critic's a boy in my head.
One of my friends is like, why do you call him a boy, Lindsay? And I'm like, well, I think I don't mean to do that in a bad way. You know what I mean? I mean, I've had my issues with men, but like, I don't mean to do that in a bad way. But I'm like, it's the father of lies. Like, it's biblical, you know?
Yeah. I never thought about that way. Yeah. Yeah. So it's a him in my head. So I was like, I'm either all in or all out kind of person, you know? And so I just wrestled with that inner critic. And I said, no, I know my God. I know him so well from a very young age. And even if he doesn't bring me my husband, then there's something else that he's going to have for me. And I don't know what that is. And because I had clenched it so tightly that I didn't even allow him to put something in my hand, but he was such a gracious God that he allowed that Ellen Price is Right moment to just be the beginning of me, like, okay,
up again.
Okay. Yeah. You know what I mean? You do see me. I am not forgotten, you know?
That like makes me want to cry, because that's just like, that is who our God is. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't do it the way we think. And we go through these seasons that are intense, you know?
Yeah.
And my inner critic often tells me, like, you've done something wrong. You know what I mean? Like,
the reason
this is happening, Lindsay, is because you've done something wrong. And then I'm like going through, like, trying to say I'm sorry to God about 70,000 times, when what he says to me is, you don't have to be sorry, you haven't done anything wrong.
Yeah.
You know, the inner critic will just take our life circumstances and just drill it in, you know, with like a knife. It's just so sweet of God, even though he's like, Tara, I can't introduce you to your husband yet. And he knew why, for whatever reason. I'm sure there's a whole other story, a whole other podcast on that. But it's like, he knew you, him, circumstance, whatever it was, he knew, like, it's coming.
Yeah.
You know, I know you're mad at me, but he's like, but I'm going to do this for you, you know? And it's like, so he's so nice. He's so kind. Even when I look at him, I'll get mad at myself more than I'll get mad at God. You know, this last season I've been really mad at God, but he didn't mind, you know, he kind of was like, okay, honey. Like, you know, like, get anger out, you know what I mean?
And mind you, this all happened when I was shaking my fist at God. It wasn't when I was doing my check marks, because I was the performance oriented check mark, you know, people pleaser, make sure I do everything correctly before God. You know what I mean? Like, I would treat God that same way. I'd be like, okay, God, I did this. I did that. I read my Bible. I went to church on Sunday. I did better. You know, like, okay, now give me my reward. You know what I mean? And it didn't work that way. I wasn't tithing. I was shaking my fist at God. I was mad at him. I was calling him names, and he blesses me. Like, that doesn't make sense. Makes no sense whatsoever.
I love about him. He's just like, okay, I've heard this story many times, actually, similar to yours, you know, where somebody just does something completely like in rebellion and God's like,
total.
I love you. You know what I mean?
Like, I'm like, what?
That's the scandalous part of grace, you know?
Yeah. It's like, that's a great title, Scandalous Part of Grace. I like that.
Too nice. Yeah. No, that's a great story, Tara. Thanks for sharing it, because I think a lot of us need to hear that, you know?
Yeah. Like,
a lot of us need to hear that, you know, we don't have to be perfect.
No.
God to bless us, and that we can go through hard seasons and we can be honest with God. I think that's something really important that I like to, you know, share with people, is like, just be honest with God about how you really feel. He lives inside of you.
Yeah.
He knows it anyway. You know what I mean? Like, he already knows you're ticked at him.
Yeah. It brings about the freedom in you. It's not bringing him freedom for you to say it. It's bringing you freedom to release the truth, because the truth sets us free.
Exactly. And getting anger out of our body. You know, I used to get really confused with your words have power. And although I believe that is very true, and we can speak death over ourselves, and I've done that in seasons, but like, you know, a counselor said to me, and I probably said it like 80 times on this podcast because I love it, but she goes, what if your words have power actually means your words have power to get that anger out of your body?
Wow. You know? Yeah.
And not necessarily, you know, God had to teach me the difference between being angry, having angry emotions and getting them out to him.
Yeah.
Then like sinning, like going and like the person that ticked you off. You know, it's like, that's the sin, you know, but getting anger out of your body to God.
Yeah.
That's not a sin. You know, Jesus was angry in the temple, and God
told
that, you know. Now maybe like getting angry and being mean to someone, that's sin, but not necessarily just getting your anger out of your body that's been in there for years, and you kind of like in your, you know, you kind of put a Jesus Band-Aid over.
Yeah.
It, you
know? And then, like, oh, I mean, I'll have some of my clients just go off into a car in a hill somewhere and just scream just to get their anger out, like, or take a pill and just, you know, like letting it out. There's something so healthy about it, you know, just let it out, however it needs to be, you know? Yeah. And I've also found that God, you know, because I grew up thinking that he was like an angry God sitting up there, like judging us and being like, okay, did she do this? Did she do this? You know, like that's how I envisioned God. Right. Yeah. And I think that that unlocked something in me and has even continued to this day of seeing, you know, God in a way where he's so humorous. He's so funny. Like I see him just like laughing at that stuff. Like she was on the toilet. You know what I mean? Like planning something for him and his like little angels, you know what I mean? Like, watch this. I'm gonna do something real funny. She's gonna be on the toilet. You know what I mean? Like he's out there just like laughing, you know? And anytime I get like visions of like Jesus now, he's always doing something like quirky and weird. And I'm like, and it's like messing with it's like paradigm shift in my head of like, how I always saw God was, you know, this angry. And I think a lot of people that grew up in church, especially like in the 90s, like 2000s, is like, oh, okay, it's not the grace God. It's like the angry, like turn or burn God.
Right.
But now it's, so even that, you know, like, because when it comes to the inner critic and you think of like God yelling at you, what can happen is that you think that voice is God speaking that to you. You know what I mean? Like that's him saying that to you. Right. As opposed to like, no, God's like, no, it's easy. Like, okay, you yell at him. He's probably like, oh, that's cute. You know what I mean? That's cute. No big deal. You know what I mean? Oh, that was a good one, Tara. That's funny what you just called me. You know what I mean?
I know. Like, I know. He is so, I agree. He's so funny. When I see visions of Jesus, he's doing really funny things. You know what I mean? Like he's like dancing. Like I remember, you know, I went to school up at Bethel and there was this very holy time where we were doing communion and like, and I'm a people pleaser. So like I would never do anything that would be like not kosher, you know, but I was like laying on the floor and like, I couldn't, and every time I wanted to get up and like go sit in my seat and be very proper with my communion, it was almost like Jesus is like, no, don't get up. You know, I'm like,
she's like throwing the crackers.
I saw him doing this like really funny dance and I thought, this is so strange, but I knew it was God. I just knew it was. And I was laughing during communion and I thought, I'm going to get in trouble. And of course I did, because they kind of want you to be free from that stuff. But I mean, Jesus is really kind. And you know, it's biblical, right? The kindness of God leads us to repentance.
Absolutely. Right?
Joy is one of the fruits of the spirit. Like, he's like throwing heresy here, you know, like he's a fun, kind God. And so,
totally.
So cute. Yeah. You and I could talk for like 7 more hours.
I know.
I don't know if anybody wants to listen to us.
Like here till like 5 in the morning, still just laughing.
Fun. But I would love if you would pray for us.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Is
there anything else I'm missing that we said we were going to talk about?
I don't think so.
Are your She Shifts culture events coming up anytime soon? I mean, I'll put all the links so people can find you, but
yeah. The next conference that we're having is going to be in October.
Okay.
Yeah, in LA. So if you're in the LA area, Orange County area, San Diego area, or just want to fly in, whatever. Yeah. Cool. Okay. We have like really cool speakers, like from all over, that from different, like I said, backgrounds, and they just bring the fire, you know. And we, you know, this last one we did was all about miracle signs and wonders, and it was happening. It was really awesome. But yeah, and if you want to check out more, for that, that's at sheshiftsculture.org. If you want, or if you're interested in life coaching or any kind of ministry stuff, you can reach it at tararmstrong.org.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah, that's so great. Yeah, if y'all need a life coach, this girl gets it done. Or join us at the 7 a.m. prayer. I'll put that link on the thing too. Yeah, okay, we're ready for your prayer. Thank you, Tara, for coming on. Thank you for having me.
Yes.
Love it.
Holy Spirit, we just thank you so much for this beautiful platform that Lindsay was inspired by you to do, Father God. We just thank you so much, Lord, for the ears that are hearing, Father, the word of God coming through the both of us at this time, Father. And we just ask, Lord, that it just encourages those that are listening. It encourages their heart. It brings about hope. Anybody that's feeling hope deferred right now, Father God, that this would just be a seed of hope, Lord Jesus. I pray, Father God, for anybody that is struggling with that inner critic, the lies from the enemy, God, that they aren't worthy enough, that they're not seen, that they're forsaken, that the dreams and desires of their hearts will not be fulfilled. God, I just ask, Lord, that you just encounter them in such a way, Father God, that they would have their hope restored inside of them. I pray, God, for a covering over their mind right now. God, would you place the mind of Christ upon the people watching right now, Lord Jesus, that just need a touch of just sanity, God. They need a touch of just shalom to their mind. I pray, Father God, for those, Lord Jesus, that are chasing after dreams, Father God, those that are desiring a husband or a wife, Lord. I pray, God, that you would encounter them, Lord Jesus, and be that, fulfill that space for them, God, that is feeling void and empty right now. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you love your children and you love to give them good gifts, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that nothing is without outside of your reach, Lord. I thank you, God, that you see all things, you know all things, and that you are a good father. And if anything, Father God, is bringing about shame or condemnation to those that are listening or watching, Father God, I pray, God, that you just gently remind them, God, that you only convict, you don't bring shame or condemnation, so that anything that's telling them in their head, Father God, in their mind, that's holding them captive to these thoughts, Lord Jesus, that are not of you, that are bringing them into a shame spiral, Father God, I pray, Lord, that you would just break that off right now in Jesus' name. And I just speak healing to the mind, healing to the heart, and healing to the soul. And we just bless every person that is watching and listening right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. I agree. Yes, Tara. Thank you so much. This was amazing.
It
was
absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. And thank you for everyone watching. And I really hope that we can connect, reach out on Instagram as well. Tara Armstrong Official. That's my Instagram handle. You can reach me there. And we hope to see you guys on a Monday morning. That would be fun if you guys can join us.
Yeah, it's so fun. I mean, it's power packed. So y'all come join. All right. Bless you guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, 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 wasn't that interesting? We can't wait until next week. Don't forget to grab Crushing Your Inner Critic Masterclass at lindsaymorgan.co and use the promo code LOVE to get 50% off. This was recorded at New Vine Music in Santa Monica, California. We would like to thank Leonardo Antonori for producing this track. To learn more about them or to license original music for your next project, go to newvinemusic.com.